Welcome to Designing Purpose, your guide to finding and pursuing the career you were meant for, with me, life and career coach Brooke Kretz. Want to know the scariest part about leaving your job? The unknowing of what's next. But what if it were possible to leave the job you hate and pursue something that feeds your soul while still meeting your financial goals? On Designing Purpose, I will guide you step by step to leave jobs that no longer serve you and connect to the career and life you were meant for. Join in for powerful stories, examples, and guidance to go from feeling stuck in the unknowing to confidently transitioning to your next career. The Designing Purpose Show starts now. So let's imagine a scenario. You're out at brunch with a friend who's complaining how they're miserable at work, how their boss continues to nag them and undervalue them. They're working way too hard, but management is too blind to hire more people, and they feel like it's impossible to keep up. I am so done with that place, they tell you, stabbing into their mushroom omelet. I cannot wait to get out of there. Good for you, you tell your friend with a celebratory sip from your mimosa. You don't deserve to stay stuck in such a toxic space. You leave brunch satisfied that your friend is getting into a better place for her and that you can be there for her through it. A couple of weeks later, you're back together for a concert. Hey, how's the job search going? You ask excitedly. Find any good leads yet? They pause, briefly scrunching up their face. Yeah, I actually decided not to leave after all. My boss just put me on this big new account, and it should come with a pay bump if I hit all my targets, so it doesn't really make sense to leave now. Oh, okay. You reply a little surprised, but also placated by your friend's sensible reflections about what seems to be like sound decision-making. As long as you feel supported by your boss and like what you do. Oh, yeah. They wave you off. This will actually be my only account, so things should quiet down quite a bit, actually. Oh, good, you tell her. I'm excited for you. After the concert, you leave feeling optimistic for your friend, hoping this is a positive turning point for her. 4 days later, at 8:45 p.m., you get a text. Ugh, work is killing me. I literally just got my 400th Slack message from my boss asking where we are on things. How long will it take her to realize that we need more people to do what she wants? I've barely slept this week and she still expects more. Now you're confused. Wasn't the new account supposed to make everything easier? I'm sorry, girl. Turn off Slack and take it easy tonight. You respond, hoping a good night's sleep will make her feel better. Can we FaceTime real quick? She asks you. 20 minutes of lamenting about the job later, you once again broach the subject. This is ridiculous. Why don't you just go somewhere else where the expectations aren't so unreasonable? This is just how the industry is. Nowhere else would be better. At least I get along with my team and have good benefits. Most days aren't even that bad, I swear. It's just getting used to this account. It will get easier. Okay, if you're sure. A little while later, you hang up feeling frustrated that your friend won't make a change when she's this unhappy, but still somewhat hopeful that she's right and that things will get better. Then the texts become constant, and every weekend brings another story about how frustrating work is and how she doesn't want the weekend to end so she doesn't have to go back to work. Why don't you leave? You finally ask her after weeks of listening supportively. The thing is that if I want to be at this level earning what I do, there really isn't any option but to work this much and just keep up with what my boss wants. I know it from talking to other people in the industry. Anything else would just be a pipe dream. It just seems like it takes a lot out of you. You've been unhappy for months. I know. And I really appreciate how supportive of a friend you are. I think things will really get better. Okay. You leave a little while later feeling angry at your friend for not choosing to make a better decision for her emotional well-being and for constantly taking it out on you. 3 months pass. Finally, you get a text one Sunday. You're right. I need to get out of there. I cannot do this anymore. Finally, you are elated, jumping up and down. Amazing. I'm so happy for you, you respond. You are so qualified and will absolutely find a better situation for you. Do you want any help with updating your resume? Oh, it's cool. The next 2 months are going to be crazy until we finish this one project. So I think I'll start looking after that. Now you're livid. How can your friend not see how bad things have gotten? How can she not prioritize making a change, seeing how many excuses she has made over the months? You don't respond, feeling apathetic and helpless to get her to see any differently. How many of you have found yourself in some version of this scenario over the years? Perhaps you've had friends, family, or colleagues who have stayed in the same job that was no longer a good fit for them, often sacrificing their health and enjoyment of life in the process for months or even years. How many of us have found ourselves in this position, venting to our friends, but always finding convenient and seemingly sensible reasons to stay exactly where we are? In my last episode, we talked about the telltale signs of purpose disconnection at work and when it is time to admit to ourselves that we are disconnected from our purpose. And while it is a huge first step to admit that we are no longer aligned with what we're meant to do, it is also much, much harder to actually leave the job that we are in to find our true place. And once the excitement and curiosity of finding a better place for you wears off, your brain will come in to crash the party with the biggest obstacle there is to taking action that we have: fear. With all the unknowns hanging in the balance, your brain will do its best to fill in those blanks with sensible and logical conclusions designed to keep you safe from making a choice that could harm you, whether that is financially, emotionally, or socially. And what it fills in usually looks something like, well, you don't know what the next thing is, and it could be even worse than what you do now, and then you'd be right back to where you could be when you could be with the worst team. Oh my gosh, and maybe earning less, and then what would you people think of you? You couldn't actually get your life together, and they can go get their lives together, and you have kids going off to college one day, and you need to be earning enough to pay for that. So let's just stay here, because honestly, those moms out there making shoes out of pipe cleaners probably don't have the mortgage that you do, so starting your own thing is probably unrealistic, and I don't even know how to balance my books. Who even knows Excel these days? It's all so confusing. Pipe cleaner shoe lady is probably an Excel expert, and that's how she runs her business so well, and doesn't have to worry about her kids' college tuition and mortgages. And actually, you know what? Your job isn't actually really that bad. And there's no time to think about this. So maybe the purpose stuff can just wait for later. Not that I'm speaking from personal experience, right? So then we construct new narratives to go along with the safeguards our brain is putting in place for us to avoid the unknowns. And these narratives can be very sneaky because they seem so logical. They seem so sensible and realistic if you look at them in a certain way, because there is truth in them. And there are really attractive things that are keeping you right where you are. But there's just one thing. All of these narratives are actually lies. Every single one of them. But our brains have become so clever at covering up what is really at the roots of these narratives and the fears they are looking to satisfy that it actually starts to really make sense. And you begin convincing yourself and others along the way that this is actually what is best for you, to stay exactly where you are, to offer your narratives, your justifications, your sensible and socially acceptable reasons for not leaving your job. Well, my sincerest apologies to your brains, but I am here to show you the top five lies I hear from coaching clients all the time about why they can't leave their jobs, even when they're misaligned with their purposes, why those are actually lies, what the truth is, and what those lies are really rooted in, to finally help you feel unstuck to make a change. And as you'll see, these lies will start at the more superficial level as we work our way down to some of the core fears and what is really at the root of us avoiding leaving our jobs. And this works on three levels. The first, most superficial, are those circumstantial beliefs. So these are beliefs about things outside of ourselves that we feel we can't control, our circumstances, because it's much easier to go to those things than to admit that there might be something else underneath, which are the personal beliefs, beliefs about yourself and why you actually aren't capable or good enough to have what you want. And these are a little more raw and vulnerable, so they're tougher to address. But at the very base of all these are the three core fears I found all clients leaving their jobs experience. So we will go through these in detail about where they come from, what you can do to overcome them, get unstuck, and ultimately move on to the job that you are meant for. So again, our brains always want to jump to the end and have all the answers right away. But just like in the last episode, I want you to give yourself permission to have only one answer to one question by the end. And that is, are the reasons I am avoiding leaving this job actually true? Are all the narratives and things I've come to believe actually preventing me from leaving this job that's no longer a good fit for me? Let's begin by exploring some of the most common circumstantial beliefs people believe that prevent them from leaving their jobs. So here are all the common circumstantial beliefs we typically hear when people are unhappy in their jobs. And what I hear time and time again from clients when I first start working with them, things like, this is just what the industry is like. All jobs have hard parts. I'm better off just staying here. If I want to earn what I'm earning, this is what I have to do. It's really not the time to look for something else right now. My ideal just doesn't exist. I've talked to people and it's not out there. And as we're reading this, we're probably thinking, yeah, these all make a lot of sense. Of course they would need to stay in their jobs for these reasons, because these narratives have just enough weight and realism that they seem like plausible and sensible reasons to stay somewhere. But let's dig into what you're really saying when you cite your circumstances as reasons why you can't leave your job. What you're really saying is, all jobs have hard parts. It's not out there. What I want is not out there. It does not exist. Even if it was out there, I don't really have the time or the energy to find it. So let's start with the first one here. All jobs have hard parts. Remember in the scenario how our friend told you she couldn't leave her job because this is just how the industry is. So this is a very, very common first justification I hear from clients who say they're unable to leave their jobs. And when you hear it at first, it's easier to think, yeah, that's true. All of the jobs I've had have had their challenges. And maybe that's just part of life. I'm actually not really improving my situation by leaving because it's just going to be the same crap different day, right? Okay, great. So I can just feel comfortable staying. But wait a minute. Let's look a little more closely at this belief. Here we are assuming that all bad parts of a job are equal, but dealing with some tedious admin stuff a couple of hours a week that you don't really enjoy is much different than working under a boss who micromanages every little thing you do on a constant basis. This is why one of the first things I have clients list out is what they do enjoy and don't enjoy about their jobs. And I'll be honest, there are a lot of times when that enjoy column is longer. And it's easy to look at it and think, see, I don't need to leave. On net, I'm actually better off here. Which is why I then ask them to track on average how much time they are spending in the don't enjoy column and how much that impacts those things in the enjoy column, as well as things outside of work, like your relationships, your marriage, the time you spend with your kids, etc. If what you don't enjoy is the consistently heavy workload, but you love your coworkers and abilities to work from home, think about how much that consistently heavy workload is actually preventing you from spending quality time with coworkers or enjoying the benefits of working from home. How much is it also impacting your mood and headspace if you find yourself thinking about all you have to do when you're not at work? The last thing I ask people to think about is how systemic the parts they don't enjoy are, meaning how much of it is part of a larger issue with many layers of oversight that might not be in your control. For example, let's say that you have raised your heavy workload to your boss and she's sympathetic and doesn't want you to have a heavy workload either. Her boss doesn't want to hire more and is interested in solidifying their foothold in a new market, so they'll say yes a lot more often to clients, meaning that you and your team have to take on more. In this case, what is not enjoyable in your job is part of a larger systemic issue and will make your ability to change things much more difficult. So then we get to the next belief. Well, what I want just doesn't exist. It's not out there. I just need to be more realistic and focused. So once again, this is something I hear quite a lot from coaching clients. And of course, my first question after this is, tell me more about how you've come to this conclusion. And what they usually say is, well, you know, I've looked on Indeed or LinkedIn for months and I don't see anything. I've talked with people in this industry. It's the same thing for them. When I tell people what I'm looking for, they tell me it's actually not possible. And so we take these few examples of limited online searches and anecdotal evidence, and we chalk this up to the fact that we'll never have what we're searching for. Or maybe we've had a string of jobs in our industry and still haven't come across what we're looking for. We'll never have that creative role with a supportive boss while earning what we need to and having a flexible schedule. It doesn't exist. It's not out there. We should just give up trying. So I am going to say something right now that might seem controversial, but that I am undeniably sure is true. And that is, whatever you were looking for, whatever it is that you are uniquely meant to do, is 100% out there. It is 100% available and possible for you. What can make this difficult is that it is not always the most obvious or easiest to find. But by learning more about what you want to do, meeting people in these spaces, and setting up a strategic relationship building plan, you can find or even create what it is you're searching for. You just have to be willing to go out there and dig for it. And while this does take a little more time and energy, I found that when I worked with clients and were strategic about who they need to talk with and how they can find the opportunities that prioritize what's most important for them, they not only find much, much better fits than they did after weeks or sometimes months of traditional job searching, but they also have a lot more fun doing it because it feels like them. And what you may discover through all of this is that it may not be a matter of you just looking for the same role in a different organization, but rather seeing if you can use the parts of the role you enjoy, the talents you get to hone in this job, and apply it either elsewhere or in an unexpected way that gives you more of what you need, whether that be more creative opportunities, leadership growth, flexibility, and more. So this brings us to the last core circumstantial belief that, you know what? This is not the best time. I do not have the time and energy to figure out what to do next. I already have too much to do. So when we are busy or stressed or overwhelmed in work or life, the absolute last thing we want to do is direct valuable mental energy and time to answering all the unknowns that come with searching for what we're meant to do. We sometimes barely even have the energy to crawl our way into bed each night, let alone discover what career aligns with our true core purpose. Additionally, we may be at sensitive financial points in our lives, which may include preparing for retirement, moving somewhere with a higher cost of living, preparing to send your kids to childcare or school with paid tuition. So yeah, obviously, it's easier to just wait until the time is right and less sensitive for your family and those around you to just really sit down and look into your next move. This is definitely something I commonly hear from clients, and I've actually had certain clients tell me that they need to stay in their jobs for at least 3, 4, or in one case, 7 more years before they can make a change. And to be honest, I get it, because this was by far the biggest reason I put off looking for my next move when I knew I wasn't in the right place for me. I was so exhausted and stressed all the time that I felt like I had zero bandwidth to consider anything else. But let's dig deeper to find out what not having time or energy actually translates to. When you find yourself not having any energy, look around to see where, and more importantly, to whom all your energy is going. If you're working to keep up with more deadlines and expectations, your energy is going to keeping clients and your boss satisfied, or maybe to support your team. If your schedule is packed on the weekends with soccer games and dance practice and extended family dinners, leaving you no more time, your energy is actually going out to your kids, your families, and other people who you agreed to give your energy to. And while it's certainly not a bad thing to put your energy out to others, and in fact, it's one of the most rewarding parts of life, who is usually missing out on that energy? You. When you do not also prioritize time or investment in yourself in healthy balance with the energy that you give to others, then you make it super easy for everyone else to take up your time and energy, making everything seem like a bad time. And before you go telling me that these things are out of your control and that you have to do them to keep your job or support your family, examine what you actually can have control over to make time and space for you, like negotiating certain boundaries with your boss about when you are available for calls and messages, asking for reduced projects or commitments for a set period of time, talking with your partner or spouse about what financial changes you could make and what options you have to maintain your financial goals and lifestyle, making support plans for childcare during certain days or times so you have time to yourself to recharge, reflect, and examine what is next, and more. When we say we don't have time, it actually means that we have not made the time we need a priority. And that means we have also not made ourselves a priority. And that leads me to what these circumstantial beliefs are actually rooted in. And that is a lack of self-prioritization. When we say that all jobs have bad parts and that it's not time to make a move, what we are actually saying is that we're not worth making the change to feel better, and that it's actually more worth it for us to put our energy into making other people satisfied, whether it's those we work for or those we support, than to find time and space to discover what it is that we're really meant to do. And now that we see that these are actually all lies rooted in something deeper, it's time to move on to some of those more raw and vulnerable beliefs underneath these, the ones we hold about ourselves. Once we rule out circumstantial beliefs as reasons we can't leave our jobs, I often find that this unearths some more vulnerable personal beliefs we have about ourselves and what we're capable of, which are not always easy to admit to ourselves and others. So let's explore some of these lies together, what the truth actually is, and what those beliefs are rooted in. The first most common personal belief is, I don't have enough knowledge and training to do what I want. Once I get more, I can go and do it. You would not believe how much I hear this from clients. And you might be thinking at something probably that your 23-year-old clients would say, or those without much experience. But I have heard this time and again from clients in their 50s with decades of managerial and leadership experience and multiple degrees. Tell me they first need to go back to school before they can shift careers. I even once had this incredible session with a driven woman in her early 30s. She was a born leader and extremely adept at guiding others to be their best selves, yet felt trapped where she was in this difficult position where she couldn't fully embody that leadership. We had a dynamic hour-long session where we mapped out how she could pursue leadership positions, leverage her skill set, and use her innate talents to be a leader in her next role. We were about to wrap up the session, and I was buzzing with excitement about what she would be able to do next. Right before we ended the call, she concluded with, "Yeah, I don't know. I think I need to go back and get my master's of management before I can change jobs." What? I was floored. Here was someone oozing with confidence, potential, and experience to boot, but still thinking she needed an extra formal training or justification to be seen as worthy and capable of what she wanted to do. And this comes down to the unpopular truth that we are not always used to hearing, which is we are so much more than the certificates and degrees we obtain. Our talents, innate passions and curiosities, and lived experiences add so much weight to who we are and what we are capable of. When we doubt that, it's easy to delay changing jobs until we go back to school. But the truth is that you are probably much more ready for the next move than you give yourself credit for, and that going to school is actually a way you are holding yourself back from seeing all you can do. Consider what schooling and training would actually provide for you and how you may have obtained similar knowledge or skills through your innate talents, passions, or lived experiences. No matter what, you will always be learning and evolving as you go. There is never a mastery to what we all do. But consider if this is a prerequisite to what you want to do next or something you can do through the transition in the next role. And the deepest personal belief I hear is, I'm not good enough to do what I want to do. There are people out there who are more qualified than me who would want me. And this definitely holds so many of us back. Because what it is rooted in is, what if they hire me or I start this business and fail or let them down because someone else could have done it better? And where I think we really sell ourselves short here is, sure, you may not know everything there is about your job or what you do, and you probably never fully will. But I guarantee that you always have an innate curiosity, desire to learn, or resourcefulness that you can always call upon when you are stuck or unsure in a situation. And that counts for so much more than just years of direct relevant experience or number of degrees. Learning how to package yourself this way and how to leverage these parts of yourself is what makes you qualified for the thing you want to do. Do not get caught up in feeling like you need to step back so others can step up. If you have the interest, drive, and motivation to do something, then you actually let all of us down because we don't get to benefit from you using all of your incredible skills. Someone else is already doing something similar? Great! We need all of you, honestly. The more of us using our gifts, the better. Just remember that you don't have to do or be anything other than who you are to prove your qualifications. Your unique energy signature is a birthright already within you. And all of these personal beliefs are rooted in a lack of self-trust. Ultimately, you do not trust yourself to make the right decisions, to meet the right people, to use your talents, passions, and skills to do what you really want to and are meant to. And at the bottom of this is all of the things we are really afraid of. All of us when venturing out of safety and into the unknown. And when I have been able to uproot what's under these circumstantial and personal beliefs with clients, what it really comes down to are these three core fears. These are almost always at the very base of the reasons we won't leave our jobs. And these are, if I'm not supposed to be doing this, then what am I supposed to be doing? What would I even tell people? Will I be good enough or able to do what I want to do? Starting with the first one, this is a million-dollar question, right? We want to have the clarity and path and exact formula of what we are meant to do and seamlessly transition into this, because this clarity and certainty and safety is what our brains crave above all else. And when those answers remain unknown, our brains will scramble to do anything to build up those narratives and convince us to stay right where we are. Not exactly happy or fulfilled, but at least safe for now. And what I would love to invite you all to do when this basal fear, this nagging question comes up, is to give yourself permission to not have all the answers. Remember that this is the purpose journey. The answers will come as we move through the rest of these episodes and also through your commitment to yourself and to discovering those answers. You can still make the brave decision to leave and even set a timeline to do so without having the answers yet. No one is asking you to quit tomorrow, just to make the definite decision that it's time to go. And also, trust that what is meant for you is out there waiting to be discovered or created. It is so easy for us to convince ourselves that what we're after are just pipe dreams, especially if we don't have a lot of firsthand evidence of people or role models doing or living how we would want to. The more you can affirm and repeat to yourself every day, "I know you're out there," you will find your way there. It is literally your birthright as long as you trust yourself and trust the process. What would I tell people? So this is a big one that finally emerges when we get to the base of people's fears around leaving their jobs. Because even if you did make the decision and you trust yourself to not have all the answers yet, we still feel the pressure to present to other people what we have planned next in this neat, tidy, effortlessly impressive box. And this holds so many people back from making the decision to leave. And let me be very clear here. You do not owe people anything, even your family members or people who depend on you. You are not making a rash, not that out decision here. You are committing to finding the answers and still doing it in a way that meets your family's financial and security needs. There are a lot of people that don't have the confidence or trust in themselves, so they might project that lack of confidence or mistrust onto you. And frankly, that's on them. It is not your responsibility to have answers to all of their questions, no matter how well-meaning. And if you really do find people asking or pushing you to know more, you can say, "I don't have all the answers yet, but I trust myself to figure them out, and I ask you to trust me as well." Other people do not have to fully get it. They don't have to understand every detail. They just need to be around to offer you support along the journey. Lastly, at the real base of all the reasons we think we can't leave our jobs, will I be good enough or able to do what I want to do? Can I do it? Will I fail? This is really what it comes down to. And this is very, very difficult for us to admit to others and also to admit to ourselves. And as I've said, and I'll say it one more time, when you are fully aligned with what you're meant to do, the full expression of who you are, your passions, your talents, your strengths, there is no pushing. There is no forcing. There is no do or be better. There is just you effortlessly being you. You will be able to figure out what comes up, to use what's already within you to solve challenges, hire, ask for help, all of the above. It's your birthright to fulfill your purpose and do what your unique energy signature can. So let's once again go back to the original question of the episode. Are the reasons I am avoiding leaving my job actually true? Are these really insurmountable roadblocks that you just have no way of getting around? Or are they clever narratives and beliefs that have been so deeply ingrained in you that you believe them as truth? Are you willing to admit that and to give yourself the self-prioritization to discover what's meant for you, the self-trust to know you can find and do it, and that permission to not have all the answers, not have to justify yourself to anyone, and trust that you can absolutely do this? It's your birthright. I know that I, for one, am really excited to see all that you are and can be if you do this. In the coming episodes, we'll continue talking so much more about this, including how to let go of idealized versions of ourselves keeping us stuck, unequivocally understanding when it's time to leave our jobs, and how we can actually connect with our purpose and understand what we're meant to do. As always, I'm so excited to be with you on this journey. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. You have been listening to Designing Purpose, your guide to finding and pursuing the career you were meant for. If you are curious to navigate the unknowns keeping you stuck in your job and confidently discover and pursue the career you were meant for, tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where I give straightforward and practical guidance to facilitate your next career move. For more information, visit www.thepurposefulpractice.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.